let's turn to John chapter 16. And verse number 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. And here's what he says. Praise the Lord. Jesus here, he makes this remarkable statement to his disciples he's talking to. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now here we see this big word expedient that just means that it's to your advantage. It's advantageous. It's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, who's the Comforter? That's the Holy Spirit, isn't he? He's the Holy Spirit. He will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so Jesus is saying here to the disciples, I'm getting ready to depart. I'm going to go away. It's necessary for me. And he says, I'm going back. He's going back to the Father. He's getting ready to go to the cross and to finish the work that the Father sent him to do. But he said, hey, it's expedient, it's necessary, men. Disciples, listen. Are you a disciple of the Lord this morning? Then the Comforter is for you. Amen. A disciple is just that disciplined follower, isn't it? And here he says, I'm telling you the truth. I've got to go. It's advantageous. It's necessary. It's to your advantage. And the question comes about, Lord, you know, and we examine Jesus' ministry and we find that whatever condition that he found humanity in, Jesus, whatever Jesus had the answer. Whatever he encountered, he had the answer for, didn't he? When we look at his ministry. And so this morning, I want us to look at his ministry, and I want us to see some of the places where Jesus ministered and what happened through the life of Jesus. Because we were talking last week about what? Looking into the perfect law of liberty. James says, when we look into the mirror of God's word, what do we see? We see the reflection of Jesus. What did he say in 2 Corinthians 3:18? That we are changed, we said, or transformed into the very image of Jesus. We begin to be transformed as we what? Behold him in a mirror. What mirror? The mirror of who he is. He showed us the will of the Father. It didn't matter if Jesus found the lame, the maimed, the blind, the deaf, the poor, and even the dead, he had an answer. He always had an answer for them. And there's a wonderful scripture that truly portrays the ministry of Christ. How many know Acts 10, verse 38? What does Acts 10, 38 say? It says, how God anointed Jesus, right? Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus. And his desire, we've been talking about this, is for you and I. As we walk with him, out of our inner man, right? out of that new man on the inside, that we would be like him. So the question comes to mind, was it truly advantageous or to our advantage that Jesus go to the Father? Jesus said it was, but we think in our mind, I mean, I don't know if you've ever asked that question, but I ask the question, is that truly necessary? So that comes to mind. But now I know that within these verses, there was the promise of the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, hey, he's going to come. The Holy Spirit will come, the Comforter. But let's suppose for a minute, you or I, we had a son or a daughter, and they were born, and the doctors came to you, and they brought the report to you, said, oh, your son, your daughter is paralyzed. They have paralysis. They'll never walk. They'll never run like a normal boy or girl. And this condition is, you know, going to stay for their life. This is what the report of that doctor. What would you do? What are you going to do? You're going to contact, of course, you'll probably begin to pray and talk to the Lord, contact your local church to pray. You may even travel around and you say, well, I went to many different places, and you may take your child all over the place to different meetings and hopefully, you know, hoping that they will receive that miracle of health. Amen. And you do that and you exhaust all your resources. Having heard every plausible explanation of why God hasn't healed them. But the fact would remain, if the ministry of Jesus was still functioning today on the earth, right now, and you were able to get your son, your daughter to him, we know, don't you know, they would be healed. Amen. Maybe you'd have to book an appointment. You didn't care. It's going to take 2.5 years, but you don't miss your appointment. You're there. You know when they come home, they're going to be whole. And, you know, the whole key is Jesus' desire. The good news is that Jesus truly intended for his body to carry on the ministry pattern that he left for us. After all, you know, after all, don't we see this pattern? Don't you see it? Remember, we've looked here some at our church, but we see it in the book of Acts, don't we? We see this pattern taking place after Jesus had left. The body of Christ is operating in it. The power of God. God, Jesus says, it's not my desire to come in word only, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to demonstrate the gospel. The Bible says that Jesus went about what? Preaching, teaching, and healing. He said, I came to teach you. I came to preach to you and tell you the good news that there is a Redeemer, and I am him. You can be changed. You can be saved. There is hope for you, but I also came to demonstrate in power what I desire to do, to show you the mind of the Father, the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that you and I walk just like Jesus. The will of the Father is that we have success like him. We'll consider the scripture here in John chapter 14 and verse number 12. Well, John 14, 12, most of you have read it at some time in your life. And he says, the works that I do shall you do also. Amen. The works that I do. What kind of works did Jesus do? And, you know, most of us have heard that at least once in our life or twice. John 14, 12, some many, many times. Some of you are contending. You're watching online and we're contending for the fullness of that. Amen. Verily, verily, he said, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Amen. How many know? Well, one way of a greater work is that people are born again. They give their hearts to God. Their life is changed from the inside out. That's one of the things that takes place today. Other greater works, you know, other greater, perhaps he's saying in more in numbers, see, because the body of Christ, how many know the Holy Spirit was in Jesus, one man? Amen? But he said, I have to go, that I can send the Comforter, that all that believe would then begin to be available for my use. And he said, I gave all authority to you. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll what? Cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Hallelujah. Now here, even in there in Mark 16, he was kind of rebuking the disciples. These signs, you know, we believe. These signs will follow those that believe. So a lot of times we wonder, you know, and I mean, I've been around a while, and so have some of you, you know, you've heard the excuse, well, maybe it's not God's time. Well, Jesus said, today is the time, now is the time, today is the day of acceptance, the day of salvation, the ready to go, it's the day to receive right now. He said, now is the time. The Bible says faith is now. Amen. Well, sometimes people say, well, you know, well, that person that it was a lack of faith. That person I prayed for didn't really believe. And I'm not saying it couldn't have some, you know, someone's just totally resistant, obstinate. But if they've come for prayer, they've brought all the faith they can. Oh, my. How many know Jesus didn't say, well, he needs more, take him away until he gets more faith and then we'll pray for him. I never saw that happen in Jesus' day. Anybody that came to him, every single time, there's 19 instances in the New Testament, and every time someone came to Jesus for prayer, how many know what happened? They were healed every time. Hallelujah. How many want to have success like Jesus had? Amen. You know, and other ideas, and, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, I would never say, I have every answer. We don't have every answer, but we know who does. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us discover and to move forward in walking with Him. And Jesus did say in Matthew 17:20, what did He say in Matthew 17:20? He said, well, He began to explain to us. The disciples were having trouble here. And they brought the man. A man came, his son's having trouble. And they couldn't cast this spirit out of him. He would often throw him into the fire. He was a lunatic and sore vexed. Verse 15 says, the Lord have mercy on my son. He is lunatic, sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and off into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, here's your answer. Because of your unbelief. Now he didn't say because it wasn't God's time. He didn't say because it wasn't God's will. Jesus even answered that question in the New Testament, didn't he? When the one man said, Lord, if you will, you can cure me. Jesus said, I will. Immediately, he said, I will be made whole. It is the will of God every time for all of us to receive, obviously. We can go to Him ourselves. How many know that? It is His will. It is His desire. And we need to realize. And you say, well, how come then we Jesus is talking here about a subtle kind of unbelief. That can neutralize the church at large without anyone taking time to really find out why. Well, how come that unbelief can do that? Now, I'm not saying I have all those answers, but He leads us, okay? The Holy Spirit does lead us into truth and cause the Word of God, right? To be our final say-so. We have to allow the Word of God to tell us. Amen. Number one, that's the first thing we realize. How are we going to change ourselves then to where we do have that faith, where we do truly believe? I'm not saying everybody says, well, I do believe. I know. As far as we go. We're not talking about the kind of belief that you don't already have. But there's a subtle unbelief that rests below our being. It hides in there, doesn't it? Every part of us, we milk every part of us for faith. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen when I prayed. Does that leave that person hopeless and helpless? Not necessarily. But there's a change that can take place on our side too. How many know it takes faith on both sides sometimes? We've got to believe God. Now you can believe God for yourself, amen. How many know you have what you say? And if you'll take the Word of God and you'll let it be your final say-so and you'll keep confessing and agreeing with God, it will come to pass in your life. And many of us have received a healing that way. You've received a blessing that way. You held on to what God had said. And you said, no, I'm not taking no for an answer, Mr. Devil. He's the one that comes to steal from us, kill and destroy. And Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm going to hold fast to the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Hallelujah. And so there is a determination that we make on the inside of us. But we are changed, as we talked about, 2 Corinthians 8:9. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from what? Glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we've got to get an image on the inside of us that looks just like Jesus, that we can walk in that same anointing and that same power where God can anoint you just like He did Jesus. And we'll say how God anointed Daryl, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Look at St. Thomas. They're being changed. How, look how God anointed Sister Laura. She went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Look how God anointed the church at St. Thomas, who went about doing good, or wherever you're from, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, we don't have to be a preacher to have a healing ministry. You know, long before I was a preacher, I've seen many things happen and people's lives be changed. And really, we're just here to stir us up and to get us seeking after the Father. And here it says we behold. So exactly what are we to be conformed to? And what is it going to look like as we're conformed to Jesus? 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And it talked about the Thessalonians here where they came to them. Amen. 1 and 2 Corinthians here. Here we go. First Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Hallelujah. It says here, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were, we were among you for your sake. The gospel didn't come in word only, but it also came here. This is the New Testament after Jesus had left. Said, we came to you, not just in word only, but in demonstration and power of the Spirit. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit. We allow that to come. And we are navigating these waters right now. Amen. We are looking to see how can we change our mindset. What do we need to do? Faith, the Bible says, comes one way, right? How many know? Romans 1:17, it comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the Word of God. And this Word is also a mirror to us. So we could say also that faith comes by seeing, and seeing by the Word of God. We see who Jesus is. We see what Jesus does. We go into the Word of God and we allow it to reflect that very image back into our heart. So this morning I want us to look at Matthew chapter 4:23-25. And we see an image of Jesus. And as we look at many of these images, it is my desire and my hope that it will paint on the canvas of our heart more and more of God's desire for you and I. And how we can walk like Jesus walked. What does that look like? Hallelujah. First, we realize that he was anointed of the Holy Spirit and with power. Are you anointed this morning? The Bible says you have an anointing from the Holy One. Amen. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, don't you? How many have received the Holy Spirit? You know, you have been filled with him. You've been born again. You've been charged by him. You've been changed, that new nature. And then you said, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. What? The power of God for service with him, to walk with him. And what it looked like in Jesus' ministry, here if we go, we see him here at the Sea of Galilee. Matthew chapter 4:23-25 says this, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now can you see in your mind's eye Jesus healing those sick? Jesus teaching the truth and bringing to them the demonstration of the gospel of God. And can you see, because of the things that are happening in his life, what begins to take place? How many know the power of God draws people? It gets their attention. They begin to see what God is doing. And I know it's very powerful also. I mean, when you see a changed life, amen. Someone was an alcoholic and now they're what? They're not. They were bound to sin and now they're free. Living what? In love. You know, the Bible says, by this we know we pass from death to life when we love the brethren. They begin to love people around them. Maybe they were very violent before, or they didn't really love many people, but it becomes noticeable. And of course, that's a great testimony. But here Jesus went about in his ministry, And he is healing their sick. Now it's not just, yeah, Jesus was a preacher of the day. But how many know he also sent out his disciples? And they did the same as he did. Amen. He had what? The 12, but he also had 70. How many remember that? Amen. In the Bible. And he sent them out. And they begin to multiply. And God's desire is for you and I to walk like Jesus. And I guarantee you, you get somebody raised from the dead, people are going to find your number. They're going to find your house. They're going to be looking for you. Amen. How many believe that? I do. I know. I mean, could you imagine? You know, they come to this church and get their miracle. You prayed for them. The blind eyes opened. And all of a sudden, here they come. Here come people. Well, where are they coming from? Oh, over in Elmer. You know, they came from over here in Sarnia, drove in from London. They've been coming from Toronto. They're coming from regions round about. Amen. You know, and pretty soon as things continue and if we move in, as we press into God and we allow Him to be everything He is in us and allow the death of the flesh to begin to take place more and more and we begin to see who we are in Jesus and what God desires to flow in us and through us and how He wants to walk with us in victory and to see the lame to walk, the blind to see, the maimed even to be made whole. Hallelujah. The deaf to hear. How many believe God that He is in you and you are in Him? You see, Jesus said, this is my prayer that you may be one with me, that you may walk with me in truth, in love, and be loved, and know you're loved of the Father. Know that you have His grace in you. Know that His power lives in you, and know that He wants to demonstrate it through you. Oh, look at your hands this morning. Say, these are holy hands. These can be used by God. He's given authority to you. You say, well, what is in those hands? Are those special hands? Oh, they are when they belong to Jesus. They are when you allow Him to flow through you. There's healing power on the inside of you. Many times that they had come and they would ask and they said, oh, they hear of sickness. The word was, I'll go heal him. I will go bring healing to them. In other words, we're not the healer. How many know Jesus is the healer? You can't heal a flea and that or anything else, and neither can I. We know that. Once we get over that and realize, hey, I know Jesus is all in all, then what does He want to do? Bless God, I'm going to pursue. Are you going to seek Him? Is there a way we can find Him? Is there a way we can pursue Him? And we've been talking about that here. How do we build up that man on the inside? How do we get him stronger and stronger? We continue to fellowship with the Father. Praying in other tongues, amen. Letting His life build us, strengthen us more and more and more, and we become a house that's more filled with Him than we are of this worldly flesh. Our desires grow, our faith begins to grow, because we begin to see who He is right here in this mirror. And we say, yes, Lord, I want to be conformed to that. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, help me. Hallelujah. Matthew 8. Verse 14 through 17. Matthew 8, 14 through 17. We see here where Jesus visited Peter's house. It says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. So this is Peter's mother-in-law. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So here we see Jesus again, ministering to Peter's mother-in-law, and apparently the word got out that Jesus is at Peter's house, And it started becoming evening, and here come the crowds. Here they came again. They came, what did they come for? They came to receive a touch from the Master. How many know we can build a presence? We can have a presence in our life that is so strong. A presence within this church, a corporate anointing even, that can come in to your life, and you can be that vessel that's available for God's use. And they're going to seek you out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We also see this in Mark chapter 1, 29 through 37. That's the next one. Sorry, I apologize. That's right. Yeah, Mark 1, 29 through 37 and Luke 4, 38 through 41. We also see it in those two Gospels where Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, if you remember, how many remember when John was asking about Jesus? All right. Well, John, he was saying, hey, now this is John the Baptist, I believe, here in Matthew chapter 11. Now, who knows who John the Baptist was? John the Baptist was one that was preparing the way. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Here he comes. Here's the Messiah. He's the one that baptized him, wasn't he? He came to be baptized. And he said, I'm not worthy. But of course, he was later killed. So anyway, John is here asking a question. John, Matthew 11, 2 through 6. Matthew 11, 2 through 6 says, now when John had heard in the prison, he went to prison, and the works of Christ, he sent two of his, and he heard the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again the things which you do hear and see. Tell him what you hear and tell him what you see. Jesus said, this is a show and tell. Hallelujah. Go tell him what you see, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. How do I know it's you, Master? How do I know this is the Savior? How do I know that it's really the Messiah? He said, look to the sign. Look what I have done. How do I know that you're really believing? Oh, glory to God. We can look to see your life. Are you demonstrating what? Number one, you know, we do have fruits. We've got the fruit of the Spirit. We've got the fruit of love. We have those things. But we also have the power of God. God heals the sick. When they pray, things happen. When they pray, answers come. When they pray, people get healed. When they pray, circumstances change. When they pray, see, the word's going to get out, I'm telling you. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep praying. We do not give up easily. We do not quit. But we pray until answers are received, amen? And we see the final result that God had promised. Yes, and amen. We stand fast to what God's word has said. We look into this mirror and we begin to see, oh, there's Jesus. There's the will of the Father. What did he say? Oh, tell John the blind receive their sight. Lord, I want to see the blind receive their sight. I don't know about you. How would you like to see that? Amen. Are you hungry to know him? Are you hungry to walk with him? To where it's your hands. When mom and daddy bring up a child and they say, our child is blind, would you pray? Well, have they ever known? They've never seen. This is a birth defect. And you lay your hand on the child. And they open their eyes and the first thing they see is your face. And you hand that child back. to a mommy and daddy that rejoices with great joy. There's nothing in the world that can buy that for you. There's not enough money in the world that can purchase that kind of a redemption, that kind of a knowing that I have done the will of the Father. Hallelujah. He is desiring us to continue to press in where the lepers are made clean. Well, what do you mean? Well, what about maybe AIDS or, you know, a herpes disease or some kind of venereal disease somebody has? That's kind of a leprosy today, amen? We don't really see many lepers here in this nation. I haven't seen any so far since I've been here. But, you know, we do see people that are sick. Amen? They have things on their skin. Ulcers. Other problems. Infections. Amen? How many know we can be healed? You be made whole. And they're cleansed. The deaf hear. I want to see some deaf people made whole. The dead raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus never seems to forget the poor, does he? Whether they be poor in real poverty or poor in knowing him. You know, it says in Revelation, there's some people, you think you're rich. You think you're so great. And you know, you have everything. You got need of nothing. But Jesus says, you're poor, you're wretched, because you don't have me. Amen. When we have the Master, all things become possible. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for what we have looked so far in the mirror, Lord. We want to be those that you can use for any purpose, Lord, to see lives change, Lord. That the blind would see, the lame would walk. The revival, Lord, that we talk about is really the outpouring of your Spirit. And it is walking with you, Lord. And to know you, Lord, in all your fullness. To where we will allow you to do the work that you desire in this earth, Lord. Lord, we surrender afresh. We surrender anew, Lord, to seek first your kingdom. To spend that time in fellowship with you in prayer and worship, in the meditation and the receiving and hearing, Lord, of your word. Let these truths become real on the inside of us. That, Lord, we come to that place that we can say, as he is, so are we in this world, Lord. That we are able to do the same works that you did. Lord, we want to be purged of unbelief. We want to have the very faith of God on the inside of us. Strengthen us, Lord, this week as we pursue you. As we honor you, as we look to you, we spend time in prayer. We spend time in your word, Father. Draw us by your Spirit. Open the eyes of our heart. Let hunger arise on the inside of us, afresh and new, Lord, and let us pursue and hunger after you.